Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the Honoring Hour. My name is Lynn, and I am so grateful you have joined us here today. My co-host is J.R. Adams, and I'd like to welcome him. How are you doing, J.R.?
I'm wonderful. I'm claiming and holding on to my health, happiness, and harmony. How about you?
Yes, and trying to keep warm at the same time. It's a bit chilly at my house.
Yeah, I'm making my own sunshine over here, too. It's a little bit nippy out, so, yeah.
Absolutely. So, JR, I do want to just say, again, we had talked, and I mentioned last weekend that you have just recently become ordained, and I want to make sure that people know how to get in touch with you. And so would you like to tell everybody just real briefly a little bit your website and how they can do that? Because I realized when I went back and listened to the show that I left that out, and I want to make sure people know where to find you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's fine. Yes, my my website is Essentials for Living. That's essentials-4living.com. And, of course, it's under construction right now, so or it's being updated. But, yeah, it's easy to get a hold of me. All my contact information is on there. And, yeah, ordained, everybody's like, okay, now are you a priest? Or are you? It's like, okay, this it's very new thought. It's through Global Religious Science Ministries. And the belief is that all paths lead to the one, you know, and it's that's the one love, the one life. And there is no separation there. So and it's our awakening to that truth. So
right. So
yeah,
and,
it's wonderful.
I want you to know that you're becoming famous even around where I live, because JR and I, for those of you that aren't really familiar with us, we don't live in the same town. And I went to a new moon gathering the other night, and there was a young lady there, and she was, we were talking about different things, and we got on the subject of Reiki, and she's like, oh, I had a Reiki session one time. It was fabulous. And I'm like, really? Where'd you go? Like, we were thinking here in our town. And she's like, it was at a bookstore in Richmond. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, was the guy named J.R. Adams? She's like, I don't know. So I pulled up your picture from Facebook, and I said, is this him? She's like, yes, it's him. So,
oh, my Lord.
I was tickled. And I have to say, I was, like, super tickled, because, like, I was like, yes, I helped him get started. He was still, like, I was so glad you came to that circle and put your hands, you know, we just, like, started doing it, because that just gave you the confidence to get out there and do all this wonderful work you do.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, that was probably one of the most transformational moments, is my laying on my stomach on the floor in your living room and you touching my back.
Yeah.
Talk about needing an experience to send you home and send you searching the internet.
So, yes, I have to say I was certainly having a very proud moment at that time when she was like, yes, it was him. She was bragging on you. It was great. So not even knowing. So I was like super tickled, and I saved that little tidbit to tell you on air because I was happy for you. So I do want to just say that JR and I, one of our passions is helping people understand the importance of being able to take responsibility for your health. And for me, that's what the Honoring Hour was really created for, not just, you know, your physical health, but your mental health, your emotional health. I mean, it's so important that we tie this in together. And JR and I had planned on doing a series where we are bringing people on that have moved from an allopathic mindset to a more holistic mindset. And because we know that it's hard to take that leap. I mean, for me, I'm such a huge risk taker with that kind of stuff anyway, and my body just forces me to do things more naturally, that it just was simple for me. But I do understand and I sympathize with people that they're a little bit more concerned, and they are not as familiar, and their body's not necessarily speaking as overtly as my body did, and just absolutely forbidding an allopathic route. So we've started that series. We're going to bring them to you maybe once a month. You know, we're keeping this organic, so it's kind of coming as it's going. But I'd like to bring them once a month or on average thereof. And we have been extremely fortunate today to have with us a wonderful person who, when I heard her story, it just floored me. And I was like, oh, I love this girl. I just have to know more about her. And I've found her to be one of the greatest blessings in my life, and certainly a fantastic mentor. So I'd like to welcome to the show today Jennifer Pressimone. How are you, Jennifer?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, and you too are such a big blessing in my life. So thank you.
Thank you. So Jennifer, when I met you, you were already healthy, very much so. But you didn't start off that way. Can you just kind of give us a little bit of background, like, you know, what started your path onto, you know, a holistic approach? I mean, like, how were you always holistic? How did that work out for you?
Well, I'll first start by saying, I mean, health really, it's not a destination, it's a journey, and it's something that we seek all the time. So when you saw me, I was healthier. I still struggle too, back and forth, but probably about 15 years ago, you know, I'm a former banker, and at that time I was an insurance underwriter, which means we had a very paper-intensive and time-intensive job. You know, I was on the phone all of the time. I had papers, I had demands, I had huge deadlines, and a lot of people's livelihoods were in my hands. And so, you know, the things that I'll share are some embarrassing, but I think what I find in sharing my story is other people are in the same boat, you know. But I would be so busy, and then whenever I got done with a project or got done with my phone calls or got done with this pile, then I would reward myself by going to the bathroom, you know, because our bathroom was down the hall, you know, and not always could you just run down to the bathroom and just come right back, you know, and because so much happens during that 5 minutes. And that led to a really bad urinary infection. So I went to my doctor, and he gave me some medication. Well, within 24 to 48 hours, I wasn't any better. I was actually worse. So I went back, and this was right before Thanksgiving, coincidentally. And they gave me a second. So the first thing they gave me was a double antibiotic. It was a sulfur-based antibiotic called Septra. And then I wasn't better. So then they gave me Tylenol 3 with codeine for the pain. Well, through that Thanksgiving weekend, I got so sick. I had lost so much weight. I had stayed in the bathroom the whole time from, you know, getting sick and being on the toilet. And on that Monday, my mom showed up, you know, mother's intuition, saying, "What's going on? You know, you didn't sound good on the phone. I was worried. I came over," and it took me 30 minutes to get to the door to let her in, because I was so sick. And she called the doctor and said, "Something's wrong." And he goes, "Oh, I just got the results back, and it shows that she is allergic to this antibiotic and to codeine.
Ooh.
So stop the medication." And my mom said, "Well, she's about to die in my arms. What do I do?" He said, "Bring her in." You know, so she took me across town, took me to the doctor, and he's like, "You got to take her to the hospital. There's nothing I can do. But my friend is a gastro doctor right down the street. Why don't you go there and let him admit her?" And so she took me there, and the guy, we had to wait in the waiting room, you know, until our turn, because we were being worked in. We didn't have an official appointment. And he walked by to come get to put paperwork up, and he saw me, and he came out and he told everybody in the waiting room, "I'm sorry, everybody, I got to take this girl because it doesn't look like she's going to make it." So, you know, they take us back into the room, and, you know, he does his little test and stuff. And he told my mom, he's like, I mean, just in that short period of time, and we're talking a course of 5 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, yeah, 5 days, you know, he's like, you know, you have no electrolytes, your kidneys are shutting down, you know, your heart is not in the right rhythm, you're having a whole bunch of issues, I need to put you in the hospital and save your life, or you can take her home to die. That's what he told my mom. And so they said, "Okay, let's go into the hospital." And, you know, he did his thing, and I started, you know, I got better enough to go home. And then I battled, you know, doing, you know, the doctor route, the medical route for 3 years. And that consisted of being on steroids, doing all kind of different medications, you know, being on 28 different medications at one time, from pain meds to antidepressants for pain meds to steroids to antibiotics. And my body just went, you know, 1 week I would weigh 78 pounds and another week I'd weigh 140. you know, just from the steroids and from just different
Jennifer,
things.
Jennifer, do you mind if I ask how tall you are?
5'4".
Okay, so 78
wow.
pounds. Either 78 or 140, that's like really off for your height, both ways.
Yeah. Yeah, proportionally it was just crazy, you know. So I would have two sets of clothes, you know. My mom had to go out and buy stretchy clothes, you know, that I could wear whenever I gained weight. And then, you know, she would just buy me those little, you know, mama dresses that you throw on so I could go from being small to big.
Oof.
You know, you just wear the leggings or you don't wear any pants. You just put on this little dress that's not fitting. It just, you throw it on like a gown. And that was my wardrobe for about 3 years.
Wow.
You know, and, you know, so I went back and forth and I did all the medications. I went to Shands. I went to the Mayo Clinic. I had my case, my gastro at the time had presented my case at their gastro symposium, their big gastroenterology symposium in Greece. And nobody could figure out what was going on, you know, and I got so sick from going through these extremes that, you know, about 13 years ago, my doctor sat me and my mom down and he said, she's an organ failure. You know, my hair was coming out, my skin was sunking in, you know, my kidneys were shutting down, my liver wasn't functioning, my digestive system, I couldn't eat any food. Anytime I ate food, I would have a very violent reaction. I would just throw up uncontrollably or have uncontrollable diarrhea, and I just couldn't hold on to anything. And he said, well, you know, she's probably got about 6 months, you know, you should, you know, get her into hospice, and they gave us the information. And my sister's a landscaper, and, you know, she's always been in horticulture, and she said, you know what, I found an herb shop that's right near you. Can you just go in there and ask them if they have anything, you know? And I was fortunate that my gastro did mention the word probiotic to me. You know, he said, you probably want to go get a probiotic, just it might give you a little bit of comfort, you know, at this point. And they gave me all of these pain meds.
But that was after three years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I had battled steroids and pain meds, but at the end is whenever, or I say at the end of that part of my journey, I was on the 28 different medications and on the pain meds and everything to make me comfortable. And, you know, so before we went to hospice, you know, because my mom and I, we did talk about, okay, well, I guess we're going to have to make funeral arrangements. I'm from the South. You know, we do open casket. You know, what clothes do I want to wear, you know, which my body was so weak at that point. It was just whatever, you know, dress looked okay.
How old were you at this point, Jennifer?
I was 28.
28 making your own funeral arrangements.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Because all of this had gone on since 25. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
And so at 28, we were doing that, and I did go to my local herb shop, like my sister asked me to, begged me to. And I went in, and there was an herbalist there, and I said, hey, you know, I've got some things going on, and my doctor said, you know, I need a probiotic. Do you have anything like that? And she goes, oh, yeah, you know, and then she starts talking to me about, you know, so how are you doing? You don't look so well, you know, and how are you pooping? And I'm like, what? I don't know you, and I don't ever talk about poop. So, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, I'm doing that. And, you know, it turned out that, you know, that mentor then, you know, is still one of my best friends today. But, you know, I was like, yeah, I don't know that I'm ready to talk to you about that. Can I just get the probiotic and leave, please? And I did, you know, and then I ran out, you know, a month later I ran out and I went back. And she's like, so are you pooping better? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what is this up with this lady and pooping? And, you know, she explained to me. She's like, well, your poop tells a lot about yourself. You know, if you're having diarrhea, then you're flushing all your minerals out. You're not holding on to nutrients. And if you're constipated, you're not getting toxins out. So which are you? And from there, we just started talking, and I told her my story. And I said, well, listen, since I know you now because we talk poop, you know, I need some herbs that are going to make me fatter. you know, because I was so skinny and I looked horrible. And I said, you can't kill me because they already sent me to hospice. So I need to know, what herbs do you have that's going to make me fat? Because, you know, I'm going to have an open casket. I don't want this to be the last memory people have. And she's like, oh, gosh. So, you know, and I, she goes, well, how did you get this way? And I just told her, well, you know, I had an antibiotic reaction. And what it was my reaction to that, they call pseudomembranous colitis, which is antibiotic poisoning. It's a deadlier form of ulcerative colitis.
Mm.
You know, and so I had explained that situation to her, and I said, you know, I just know when I took that medication, something changed. There was a molecular structure my body didn't like. You know, there was something different. She's like, okay, use the word molecules and molecular. You know, I have a friend who's a rocket scientist, coincidentally, who had her own health issues. You should talk to her. And she hooked me up with this lady, and, you know, I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And the lady agreed to meet me, and we talked, and she did my blood work, and she's like, oh, you know, you're missing B vitamins. You need this, 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 and this. This is the chemistry that's not working. And these herbs would match this chemistry, you know, without overstimulating something or calming something down. And I have to say, I did her program for 3 months, and within 3 months, I was walking again because I was in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. I could take myself to the bathroom because at the time, either my mom or my my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband, had to take me to the bathroom. And it's a shame whenever you're, you know, 28 years old and somebody has to take you to the bathroom and wipe your butt. You know, it was daunting. It was embarrassing. You know, it was just devastating. So after 3 months of just doing an herbal remedy, you know, and I was so confused and I couldn't remember which of the 28 medications I was taking. And so I made a decision, and I certainly am not advocating this, but for me, my right decision was I just had to stop it all, you know. And I do realize now some of the, I probably should not have stopped cold turkey, but I was confused and it was just too much, you know. And I thought, okay, so I did some simple basics. I did enzymes. I did some probiotics. I did some herbal formulas that were specific with the gut and with the intestines. And I did. I started caring again. I started having my memory. I started being myself again. I could, you know, at least get up every day. And then, you know, I was introduced to aromatherapy by this herbalist, you know, and she had invited me to a tea and chat, and she's like, you know, I'm doing aromatherapy. Why don't you come? And she made me up a roll-on with Roman chamomile and some apricot oil and a little roll-on. And she's like, anytime you have cramps, I heard this gives some antispasmodic and anti-inflammatory properties. Why don't you try it? And so, you know, I would wake up every morning, you know, around 3-4 o'clock in the morning with the most horrible intestinal cramps and bowel spasms. And I slept with the roll-on underneath my pillow. And so I would whip the roll-on out and I'd roll it on my stomach. And it was almost like instant that my cramps subsided. I was like, wow, there must be something to this. You know, and so I just continued with my herbal program and I continued with my aromatherapy. And, you know, I would get headaches a lot. And I learned that peppermint essential oil was great for headaches. So I would make me up a little peppermint stick, you know, and the little roll-on and roll that on my temples, and it would help instantly. And for me, you know, like I said, I was in insurance and banking. During those last months of on that journey, I had to take a sabbatical from my job because I couldn't work. You know, whenever I would go to the office, I would have to call my assistant and tell her when I was leaving. They gave me exactly 1 hour to get to work, and if I wasn't there, they would come find me on the side of the road somewhere. I would call my engineer to come carry me from the parking lot to my office and push me around in a chair. And, you know, life just was non-existent. You know, I had to depend on everybody else. So I took a sabbatical, and then I got into the herb stuff, and I just never went back. You know, and then it turned into having an aromatherapy business and sharing this story with other people and helping them find remedies, you know, based on the remedies that I found for my own personal health.
That is just an amazing story.
It's very inspirational, absolutely, yeah.
And I meet people all the time that have similar stories because I thought, you know, I thought my story was, wow, I can't believe this happened to me and I can't believe I made it. I can't believe I was a lucky one. because, you know, going through, you know, the different doctors, I had other people that you meet in the waiting room that are going through similar things, and some of them didn't make it, you know, and to know that I was the chosen one, that I made it, I was blessed to have the tools put in front of me and the wisdom to know to use them or, you know, to at least entertain them. I hear stories all the time from people going through similar experiences, and I just feel honored that I can pay that forward. I can pay forward what that herbalist did for me, and that's just be there, you know, share what I know and care.
So when you were telling your story, Jennifer, a couple of things, you know, stood out to me. You know, you were in organ failure. They gave you 6 months to live. You had been put on hospice, and you were taking 28 meds, a lot of those to make you comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you were going through all this, thank heavens for your sister, you know,
yeah.
who kind of led you. When you're going through all this, at any time prior to your sister saying, go try this, were you, like, ever questioning, you know, the allopathic medicine or the practice? I mean, clearly you did not just see some doctors that didn't know what they were doing. I mean, you're talking about your case got presented at a symposium in Greece. You went to the Mayo Clinic. I mean, you were not having a mediocre care.
I the doctors are some of the top doctors. I mean, they knew what they were doing. I think back, and I've got asked that question before, and I don't know where the flame inside of me came from, and it's almost like it wasn't me that consciously said, I'm going to beat this, and this is going to be it. I was so sick that all I could think about from the moment that I woke up, if I ever went to sleep, because a lot of times I didn't sleep, because on the steroid you don't sleep, so I would go 7, 8, 9 days with no sleep, and then I would sleep a couple hours in the afternoon because I would just pass out, or the pain meds would knock me out. And it's not even like they knocked me out. It's I would have weird thoughts and hallucinations, and it, you know, they just do different things to your body. But I was so weak. But I know my mom and my sister and my husband and my friends were my support system, and they were the ones who fought. They were the ones, you know, do this, do that, let me care for you, you know, go here. And I just had other people, I think, that drove my car, and I just was a passenger. But I was a willing passenger, which I think is different, you know, because I think so many times on our journey we have the choice to give up or to lead in faith. And you know, I don't know where that drive came from. I just know it was there. I mean, I made funeral arrangements, so obviously I thought I was going to die. But it, you know, I always have that hope or that optimism. You know, as JR said, you know, you create your own sunshine. you know, to help you get through the day. And I was just fortunate that I had opened myself up enough that the right people could come in and guide me, and I just followed their lead.
Right. And I think that's so key. One, you know, we have to be willing to receive it. I mean, that's definitely, you know, God puts a lot of stuff at our feet, and we just have to be willing to take it in. But I think, too, that you were extremely blessed that the people around you were, you know, open to alternatives. And I would think that, I know for myself, you know, I've got kids in their 20s, and if one of them were to get extremely ill like that, I mean, my son's had just a blip, nothing near like that, but I mean, he had to go to the hospital for something, and I mean, my heart stopped. So I can only imagine how your mom felt, you know, watching her daughter get sicker and sicker. And I know as a mom for me, but that's my personality, I would have been trying anything that I thought, you know, had validity that would work to save my child. So bless you.
That was a horrible, and I think for me, the worst thing out of all of that wasn't the pain. It wasn't what I went through. The worst thing of that whole situation was the look in my mother's eyes when the doctor told her, and the look that she gave me, you know, because I'm the baby in my family, you know, and that, the devastation, I think, is something that sits with me. Out of all of that, that's my biggest thing, and that was the biggest, you know, pain. I would endure anything that I needed to, but if I could take anything from that back, that would be the only thing I would take back. You know, I feel blessed that I went through that journey because I'm still here and I'm able to share that. And if it's able to enhance somebody's life or inspire somebody or make somebody even feel good for 5 minutes, you know, then I feel, you know, this whole journey was worth it.
Right.
Absolutely. Right. It was just making me think, I mean, there's a reason for everything, and your story in itself, but also the gifts that come through you, Jennifer. It's as if, you know, even if we're not aware, and we're just in that place of not knowing, but yet as fully open and receptive as you were for the gift of healing, that our higher self or spirit just really brings that in, so that what can manifest through you has been. So that's pretty awesome what has been birthed forth through you, you know, with the GenSense University and everything, because you're changing lives every time you turn around. You know,
yeah.
I keep thinking back to your poop.
Well, then.
It just makes me wonder, you know, just how much did you have to educate self? I mean, how much did you really have to get into knowing self and sensing into your own body to recognize how imbalanced things were?
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I think that's a huge key that everybody misses. I think we get so busy in life that if I ask you about your work, or if I ask you, tell me about yourself, you're going to tell me about your work or your kids. You're going to tell me about things that surround your life. But hardly anybody talks about themselves. You know, well, I love to dance. This is my favorite food. I poop 3 times a day. You know, we don't talk about that because we get so disconnected from ourselves. And, you know, that just by that lady asking me, well, how is your poop? I'm like, I don't know. I never paid attention to my poop. Well, I mean, I knew I was having uncontrollable diarrhea. I mean, that you can't forget. But, you know, other than that, now when I talk to people and I'm like, okay, so, you know, how well do your bowels work? Do you have a bowel movement every day? And yes. Well, now I know not to stop there, because some people think little pebbles is a good bowel movement, and it's not. So there's a lot of education to get people to change their way of thinking, because our society, just like me, I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I believed that I went to a doctor and I did the medicines that they said. You know, I didn't have to know what my symptoms meant. I didn't know my body was trying to tell me something, and I certainly didn't know how to listen to it, and I didn't know how to interpret what that meant. But I just believed, they say do this, I'm going to do that. And through that whole process, that was the catalyst that got me engaged in my own healing, engaged in my own life, is, wow, I am responsible and I am in control of my health. Because at the end of the day, everybody wrote me off. And, you know, I did have that drive to say, well, let me learn about molecules and let me learn about the anatomy and physiology. And, yep, those are where my intestines are. And on the right side, yep, that's where my liver is. And I had to learn a lot and educate myself. And then I find that when I'm working with other people, is there's a huge education, and it's getting back to basics. It's getting back to information in ourselves. And if our body isn't acting in a certain way, you know, isn't functioning optimally, then we need to look at, okay, well, what is that body trying to tell me? You know, when people are constipated, I ask them, well, on an emotional level, you're not letting something go, you know, or there's not enough enzymes, or you're eating the wrong foods. And it just gets people engaged to think, wow, I never thought of that. I never thought about asking myself, what is it trying to tell me? I never thought about figuring it out. I just want a remedy. I want it to go away quickly. But when you send something away quickly like that, it's going to pop up in another way because you didn't listen to your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now I find I don't fight that resistance. I'm supposed to stop and figure out what that means.
Right. And, you know, and I think that, you know, you've just really, you know, that's just a big thing that I'd love for people to listen to is we don't listen to our bodies, you know, and at the point that you were when that doctor said you might want to go get a probiotic to kind of make you a little bit more comfortable, you know, I just want to make very clear that that doctor was, I'm sure, not being insensitive. He knew what he had learned, and he had not really learned because they don't teach in medical school this, you know, the simplicity of the herbs. I mean, they're starting to, like, mention it, I think, more and more. But, you know, they are trained and taught from an allopathic perspective. So you've got doctors that are extremely knowledgeable. They're brilliant people. They're very compassionate. But they just don't have that basic know-how. And if they've not gone through something themselves or had somebody close to them go through something themselves or been open to or exposed to alternatives, they don't know how to share it. And as a gastrointestinal doctor, one of the first things I would want them to do personally for myself, and my brother-in-law is a gastro, you know, I would love for them to say, anybody that walks through my door, get on a probiotic. It doesn't matter what you're in here for. That's what I would like to see happening in the allopathic world, just across the board with doctors, because that alone is going to be helpful with people.
And through my journey through all the different doctors, you're right, I had great doctors, and they gave me the best care that they were capable of giving me based on the training that they had at that point in their career. And I got labeled. I can't tell you, you know, and you know, the things that I prayed for is I prayed for a diagnosis. I prayed because I knew I had pseudomembranous colitis, irritable bowel, leaky gut, IBS. But then they would come back, okay, well, you have MS and you have intestinal cancer and now you have liver cancer and it's in your lung. And I went through every week, it seemed, I had a different diagnosis, but nothing was concrete and nothing was completely confirmed. And then I realized, you know, after talking with, you know, that rocket scientist doctor, you know, after talking with her and her explaining stuff to me, I'm like, oh, my body is just broken. It's not absorbing nutrients. There was some chemistry change. There was some molecular changes, you know, and I wasn't absorbing food. And when you don't absorb nutrients in food, then your organs can't work. And so it came down to malabsorption. And after all of these things, I kept thinking, if I have a diagnosis, then we'll know what to treat me for. And I'm so thankful now that I wasn't labeled with a final diagnosis like cancer or something like that, because that wasn't necessarily true. It was malabsorption. It was that my body wasn't absorbing stuff, and so I just needed to go back and figure out. And it was a complete lifestyle change. I had to change, you know, all natural cleaning products. I had to drink enough water and be in bed by a certain time and no stress, and I could only eat certain foods. I could only combine certain foods, you know, so I learned a lot through that whole process. And I tell my clients now, it's not always about the diagnosis, you know, it's about where is your body and what's it trying to tell you and what's broken and let's fix that, you know, or let's work on that, let's strengthen that and let's get your body reengaged.
Right. Well, I mean, I'll tell you, Jennifer, I think your story is amazing. It's one of the reasons that I wanted to invite you on here, you know, and just because, you know, you did have such a tangible experience the whole way through, and because you were getting some great care. And that's one thing I want to reiterate this. I cannot say this enough, that when I'm trying to encourage, or when most people are trying to encourage you to take an alternate approach, we're not saying that your doctors are wrong or your doctors are bad. What we're saying is there's other means in which to get yourself healthy. Give them a shot. So that's what this series is really all about, is to help you take that leap of faith and, you know, learn from other people what just going and trying something unconventional or what may seem as unconventional. Because the truth is that all of the stuff that you're doing, Jennifer, this is the foundation of what medicine and the allopathic world is built on.
Right.
So, you know, I do thank you so very much for joining us today and sharing your story. And, you know, JR, I don't know if you've got anything else you wanted to say about Jennifer or to Jennifer or ask her. Or...
No. Well, just, I mean, she's definitely an inspiration. And, I mean, I'm just filled with gratitude that she's spent this time with us, educating us even more so and our listeners, because it's with this education and this awareness that we can all make educated decisions and choices in our life to bring about the balance, the harmony, so that we can actually realize the wholeness of ourself that already is. Because we're, you know, it's just releasing, you know, we're releasing the tension, the stress upon the body is all we're doing, because the wholeness is already there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's well said.
Right.
So thank you for joining us, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you, JR, for co-hosting with me today. Thank you, Jennifer, for being willing to come on, share your story. And, you know, for me personally, I'm certainly grateful for all the blessings you've provided in my life and all the health information that you've provided for me and just being there as a mentor to me. So thank you very much.
Thank you. The honor is mine.
So, all right, guys, I'm not sure what we're doing next week. It is the day after Thanksgiving, truthfully. JR and I haven't really talked about it. I don't know if we're going to have something pre-recorded or maybe I'll just jump on and do a meditation. But we are guaranteed to be back on the 5th of December if we do take a vacation next week. So we hope that you will join us then. But do keep an eye out for us, because I have a feeling if nothing else, I'll be on here to do a meditation. So thank you, JR. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, all our listeners, and we're looking forward to sharing more with you. Have a blessed holiday season. If you celebrate Thanksgiving, remember to take some digestive enzymes, use your probiotics, drink plenty of water, and don't overeat. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.